Nancy Pelosi mulls over retirement. John Boehner, soon to take her old job as Speaker of the House, thinks about cooperation. It's a red new world on the Hill, but what does it all mean? Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of this show. As we zig and zag all over the place like a pinball machine gone wild. Coming up this hour, we're going to chat with an insider on the Tea Party and how the Tea Party did and what does it all mean moving forward. Also, my pal Saul Album to look at the financial aspects of the big change on the Hill. So will there be gridlock? Will there actually be cooperation? If you think back to the Clinton administration, guess what? There was more cooperation that actually happened in the mid-90s. Perhaps there is some future of this happening with these two groups. However, when you look at the issues like rolling back health care, that was a big one for the so-called Tea Party candidates, now the elected officials who stand in waiting. How far can they advance the ball on that one? And the answer is not very far if they don't have the backing of other Republicans and, of course, the Democrats as well. It'll get very sticky, and there's going to be conversation, I'm sure, over parts of health. I really think it's health insurance reform, but whatever. There'll be a lot of going back and forth over that one, and that's not the only thing. What about the Bush tax cuts that are set to expire in December? Is there some kind of compromise there, or is there a freeze on taxes? There was lots of confusion over it because initially, and I have looked at this five different ways, initially it was thought that, well, it's just the rich people because their taxes will jump up to a higher bracket. But it's not true. When you look at it, everybody's taxes, whether you're making a few nickels or a lot of nickels, everybody's taxes will go up with the tax cuts expiring. I know I've given examples of this. The marriage credit, that goes away. Basically, the $1,000 you would have gotten there. Child care is a big one for a lot of people. You know, you get the extra money for however many children you have. That adds up when you start to do the tax thing. And there's a slew of others. Trust me, when we get closer to tax season, we'll sort it all out for you because we're going to all have to sort it out. And that's what the process is going to be like for the Republicans and for the Democrats. And Boehner has flat out said the Obama health plan is absolutely on the chopping block after this big win, because it's clear that the reason why everybody's seeing red is because nobody was happy with what was happening with the current administration's policies. Failed things like the stimulus or cash for clunkers or whatever. Just basically a slew of different programs that fell short of the mark. But how far can you go if you don't have cooperation? The answer is you can't go very far. So this is going to be an interesting time with the so-called lame duck session too. And then I mentioned at the top, Nancy Pelosi, 70 years old. She gets reelected rather in her district again. Does she do two more years and step out of the spotlight of the, because of course she wouldn't be in the speaker's role, or does she go away? Does she decide, okay, now it's time for me to step aside? Some interesting things, I think, at work that will sort themselves out as we go through the next month or two. But the curious thing is really, really going to be what happens with the health plan. I know I've told the personal story on the air, but I think I'm going to give you the nuts and bolts of it a little bit more. Because how does it affect you in your own backyard? I can sit here and I can tell you all the mumbo jumbo and all the numbers and all the good stuff and the juice I found out and whatever, and I do. But personally, how does the new health care policy affect you and me directly? And I had a conversation with my mother. She recently, well, she retired, I guess, as of December, it would be 2 years. And her health plan is a good example. It's going up by $109 a month. And you think $109 a month, and you start to add that up, yeah, it's higher. Electricity is higher. Taxes are higher. And then it all gets you in the gut and you realize, wow, some of those extra things, I'm going to have to cut back on that, especially if I'm on a fixed income. And what she's had to pay, can you imagine now if you're talking about children, if you're talking about having a lot of children and having to add all of that up, the cost of a whole family? And I think there are a lot of people that are not going to be happy when they see where their premiums are going, because in theory, the idea of, yes, the pre-existing condition, horrendous, should be erased. Absolutely, I agree. But in theory, implementing the idea that we can all have this health care, we can all do it, sure. And then you trust the insurance companies, and they're going to stick you right in the back. And that's exactly what's happening, because they're going to have to pass it on, and that's what they're doing. They have cover. They have to pass it on because they have to make a quadrillion more. If they're not adding additions onto their homes at the highest levels, then it just won't work for them. That's the thing. That's the thing that you have to think about. And I'm sure some of you have found out similar things heading into December and then into the next year that you end up with higher premiums. If you have any specifics on it, call me. We want to hear your personal stories about, yeah, okay, so this is how this works. As always, your two cents is always welcome on anything. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. So as I said, we're going to dive into the aftermath of the election and what it all means. Probably a shift in foreign policy. Will we have the gridlock? Will there be cooperation? Will some people retire? Lots and lots and lots of unanswered questions at this point. Now, there were, to be sure, other things, believe it or not, that happened besides our election. And if we jump across the pond and we look at what else has happened in the world, we were talking about the huge blasts in Baghdad and how sad that was, that you had separate car bombs that went off and, frankly, killed way too many people. They were set up in very public areas to slaughter the civilians that would be in and around some of the markets. So ultimately, the toll from across Baghdad is 64 dead, 360 wounded. It was 14 car bombs, two roadside bombs, and a mortar attack. I think actually two mortar attacks. 17 neighborhoods all told, most of them Shiite areas. So how terrible is that? I mean, obviously, you look at security and you look at the Iraqi security. So how do you rate it? Is it still able to hold up despite the bombings? And it was obviously planned. It was planned across the city. So now you've got the U.S. military advisors, many of them still there, who went to some of the sites with the security forces to try to figure and sort all this stuff out. And I'll tell you, it's disheartening because you don't want to see this government collapse after all the years, the hard work, the investment, the physical investment, the human toll in Iraq, because that's, we put 9 years plus and counting. So the Pentagon is saying that overall security is still good and the attack levels in Iraq are still at historically low levels. Wow. Hang with us. We're talking money and newbies and Congress and the election and all that entails on the flip side here in America Tonight.
To ship a vehicle safely from point A to point B, which company should you choose? Easy. Stateway Auto Transport. Why trust Patriot-owned Stateway Auto Transport? Many reasons. Stateway is not just a broker, but a fully licensed and bonded carrier with its own fleet of trucks and $1 million of cargo coverage insurance. With Stateway, your vehicle rides safely on a direct route on the same truck, and your shipment is always door-to-door with no hidden fees, and every shipment includes free online vehicle tracking. Simply put, Stateway Auto Transport is the best, most efficient, quickest, and friendliest worldwide shipper in the business. To receive a free quote from a live customer service representative, call 877-848-7474 or see us online at statewayauto.com. That's statewayauto.com or call 877-848-7474. Ask about discounts for seniors, military, and all GCN listeners. Stateway Auto Transport, your one-stop shop for worldwide vehicle transport.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2234 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Take a minute and hear what I'm about to tell you. You might have heard about Life Change Tea on a radio commercial or a TV commercial. And you did what many people do. You tuned out. I understand. Now the facts. When health fails, you will do just about anything for better health. So why wait? Read our testimonies of better health by drinking Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. And how much does missing work cost you when you're sick? Get ahead of the sick curve. Get the tea. Here's how to order. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call one of our friendly operators. 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Our tea tastes great and will help you with your health, and you can even lose weight. So again, try us out at GetTheTea.com.
About the aftermath of these midterm elections, and to be sure, money was part of this. People frustrated that they don't have enough of it, worried about being taxed through their eyeballs and an assortment of other things. And what does it do to our money situation in this country and the markets too as well? Who better to chat with than, of course, our money man, Saul Album. Hey Saul, how are you?
I had a fantastic day today up visiting some oil wells in Kansas, nice place to hide from all the printing presses.
No kidding, I like that. So you're hoping they're going to be pumping something out, huh, in those oil wells?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, one of the ways that I put my money is, of course, everyone listen to Kate Delaney. You always diversify and you always talk with your financial advisor, or probably don't talk with him. Actually, probably do the opposite of what he says, or she. Women do a good job of maybe just fire your male financial advisor and hire a female financial advisor.
There you go.
And actually, you probably do better. It's, you know, direct investments with reputable oil and gas drillers and operators. The problem is, finding non-corrupt oil and gas people is very hard. And hopefully I just found one. So,
good for you. Absolutely. See, we're talking about money, so good for you. You might have found some good guys. All right, so it's the day after the election. Now Obama realizes he's going to have to deal with red, red, red because the House turns over. So he's smart. He makes the phone call to John Boehner. They talk about the spirit of cooperation, and here it is, like I said, a day afterwards, and the president says he's willing to negotiate with the Republicans to make sure that the middle class tax cuts are extended before they expire at the end of December. And also, he's talking about trying to turn around some things for small businesses. So I guess this is a good thing, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, you know, when both parties are in power, you're going to have both holding each other accountable. You know, the deficits went up dramatically under Bush when he had Democrats trying to hold him. When he had Republicans there, you know, they passed the Medicare expansion. Under Clinton, with the Republicans in the House after 40 years, they held Clinton to an account. So I'm hoping that divided government which would mean gridlock, and, you know, that's the best thing for business owners. You know, let me, you know, but the thing is that there's, you know, you can argue about extending the Bush tax cuts, which only comes out to about a 3 or 4%. The problem is, Kate, when you start looking at the numbers, it doesn't look pretty. I don't know what they're going to cut. Right now, I just, before I came on, I was looking up, you know, just Wikipedia, everyone, just start Googling this stuff yourself. The 2011 budget is going to be a whopping $3.8 trillion with a $1.3 trillion deficit. Now here's the deal: we got less than $1 trillion for income tax. If we literally doubled our income tax, like everyone listening tonight, you're going to have to pay double, and you're still not going to be able to balance the budget for Obama's budget next year.
Wow.
I mean, what are we going to do? I mean, how much are we, where are we going to raise taxes? We're going to have to raise taxes. No, remember, I said we don't even get $1 trillion from income tax. If we taxed, I mean, literally, we don't even get $1 trillion from income tax. If we doubled that across the board for every man, woman, and child, doubled it for everyone, we still would not have enough to make up the deficit itself. So, I mean, you can cut 3% or 2% or, you know, but there's going to have to be systemic change. I mean, Matt, I mean, we're going to have, if you cut the entire military budget to zero, you still wouldn't be able to get rid of that deficit. So, you know, everyone listening, you know, there's going to be some reckoning. It's probably not going to be for a few years, but this cooperation is a bunch of garbage. I mean, there's going to have to be changes. And changes soon. Okay, I'll let you have the floor. Sorry, Kate.
Yeah, so the reckoning, you know, I was talking to somebody about this very same thing, and he said exactly, he's a financial advisor, and he said the same thing to me, that it doesn't matter if, you know, who did it, why it happened, too big to fail, bailouts, stimuluses, whatever you want to blame it on, and spending, well, somebody's got to pay for it, and that means us, the American people. So at some point, what you just said, we have to pay the piper somehow. And so what do you do? What are you cutting? How are you making up that money? Because you cannot go further down the rat hole, right?
Taxes are going to go up. You know, if we cut spending $1 trillion, okay, it's still not going to make up the deficit. So, you know, taxes are going to have to go up. So what that means is, everyone listening, start focusing on your Roth IRAs, okay? And also, okay, because the Roth IRA, what you do is when you put the money in now at a low tax rate, you pay the tax on it. But when you pull it out, you don't pay tax on it, okay? And
right.
What's fantastic about the Roth IRA, and of course, probably do the opposite of whatever your financial advisor tells you to do, what's great about the Roth IRA is that if you pass away, assuming you have anything in there after, you know, everyone else is taxed, you know, it's hard to have a job or make any money when everyone else is taxed at 60%, right? So assuming there's any money in there, which maybe there would be because inflation, right? You know, you put $5 in, it'd be $10, you know, you could buy a loaf of bread with it.
Sure.
You put it in there, and then you're able to pass it down to generations. And this is a very technical point. I want the listeners to listen very carefully. They don't have required minimum distributions, meaning that if you have a regular IRA or 401k, you have an IRA, at 72.5, the government forces you to pull money out, and you have to pay income tax on that. But a Roth IRA, you already paid the tax, the government can't gain out of it, so you can pass it down in perpetuity to your children and grandchildren, and they can pull the money out.
Right, I gotcha. So really, the Roth IRA is better, in a sense.
With your accountant about your required minimum distribution, you should do so.
Yeah. A lot of people, though, see, that's the thing. A lot of people have the traditional, well, which the good thing about the traditional, I guess if you could bounce both of them would be good, is, the income tax write-off. Can you do that with the Roth?
No. You know, these are great questions. This is assuming you have a job, okay, out there, and I pity you. You know, but Kate's listeners, you know, if you don't have a job, that's okay. You know, there's only like a, you know, 30% unemployment, you know, under an unemployment rate. So,
yeah.
Assuming you have a job and you have income to actually put money into this, which, like, you're lucky if you do. And, you know, I think everyone out there is thankful if they do have a job. So, yes, an IRA, a regular IRA, traditional IRA, you can write it off. However, taxes are going to go up. So, you know, they're probably, you know, they may double, right? I mean, literally. So, you know, right now, don't take the write-off now. Take the write-off later. But then again, you may never get a job again, so you know, maybe
You're depressing us. You're depressing us.
Well,
okay,
that's okay. You just buy gold with it or something, you know, or,
gold, exactly.
Or the S&P.
All right, we only have a couple minutes left, but let me ask you this. How about the Dow Jones up, up, up? I mean, it's been up. It's the highest since September of 2008. It was up 27 points. So that's got to be good news, right? The S&P was up, all that.
Absolutely. The dollar's crashing, okay? So most of these large companies get their earnings from overseas. So if you make money in yen and the yen is worth tons and tons, well, you did well because of currency. Okay, so absolutely. And the second is large companies have access to debt. Okay, if you don't have a job, no one's going to loan you anything. No one's going to give you a low-rate mortgage. But if you're an S&P 500 company or a large Dow Jones industrial company, you have access to the debt market, and you can borrow at like a double A rated company can borrow money at like 1.5 or 2%. Okay, so what we're doing is we're stealing money from the lenders, the old people who, you know, the retired folks who are listening, and giving it to the large corporations who have access to that. So they're able to borrow at 2% and invest in their own company. So absolutely. So even though right now, the insider, okay, we'll talk about this real fast. The price earning ratio on S&P is pretty high. I don't like it, but it's still going to go up. Basically, like we've been talking about on the show, we're juicing the large companies with low interest rates. Mm-hmm. Okay. So be careful. So have some nice dividend paying stock, you know, go out and buy some safe dividend paying stock. That's fine, but be careful with the broad S&P index because it's got a high price earning ratio. So you're buying a lot. You're paying a high price for the earnings.
You want to be careful there. That makes sense what you said, absolutely. All right, so as always, fun to talk to you. Good luck with those oil wells.
Oh, thank you. And, Kate, you know, everyone listen to Kate. You know, Kate, maybe you should be a financial advisor. I think.
Yeah, thanks.
Take care.
I appreciate that plug. Thanks. All right, so we just said the Dow ended trading day pretty high the day after the election, so that is good news temporarily anyway, like Saul was saying. You got to be careful about that. Check us out on americatonight.net. Hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
In a coming apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Special announcement for our Renaissance Charge customers. Have you ever wondered what it would take to make your car run on 100% electric power? What about making a motor into a generator? How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you money? Because you, our customers, asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Conference Workshop on November 13th and 14th at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but for the first first time, you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Vadini. Register now while there's still room left to participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy Tesla technology. Visit r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alli-C. Why Alli-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alli-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alli-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alli-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alli-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alli-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alli-C. For more information and to order Alli-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alli-C today.
A Tea Party tsunami propelled the Republicans towards huge wins in the House and the Senate. Rand Paul in Kentucky is a great example. Marco Rubio in Florida is another example, Senate-wise. And about a dozen Tea Party candidates in the House also won their races. To be sure, you know, there were some misses, too. Sharon Engel in Nevada, Christine O'Donnell in Delaware, too. Both of those two women running for Senate. With more on the movement and what happened in the election, Chip Burleigh, a senior analyst at the Political Research Associates, joins us now here on America Tonight. Chip, thanks for stopping by ATM. We appreciate the time, man.
Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about, first of all, your initial reaction to, you heard me mention there were losses, but there were certainly some huge wins. So now what do you say about the Tea Party after these wins? What do you attribute to that?
Well, I certainly think that they were a major factor behind the very well good showing of the Republicans. There's no doubt about that. It's true that in off-election years, the party in power tends to not do very well. But even accounting for that and a not very good economy, still I think the Republicans were boosted significantly by the Tea Party movement, which now has to decide whether it's going to find an accommodation with the Republican Party or seek a kind of independent course. That's what all social movements do.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned the two that lost, like Sharon Engel. That seemed to be neck and neck in a lot of the polls, but then when the actual results came in, Harry Reid pulled away. Were you surprised at all by her loss in Nevada or no? Because he certainly had a stronghold there after 28 years.
Absolutely, but I think what you have is that even within the Tea Party, you're going to have folks who look at some of the candidates who are saying things that just don't make a lot of sense and say, you know, I'd rather have a Democrat I know than electing someone to Congress or the Senate who may not actually be rowing with both oars.
You know, especially you said it's funny rowing with both oars because of some of the things that she tripped on and said, and the same with Christine O'Donnell. There started to be a lot of stories written in the media about the Tea Party as kind of a lunatic fringe, almost irrational type of group. But you said that's not true, right?
Well, there's simply no social science evidence that people who join social movements, whether it's the left or the right, are any more or less unstable, uneducated, ignorant, stupid, lunatic, or crazy than the rest of us. That may be a sad commentary on our country, but there's a lot of bigotry against people who join social movements, and it's just not borne out by the social science research. So that's a prejudice that people in the political center like to pin on people who are dissidents.
Yeah, now you said this at the beginning. What's going to be interesting here is to see what happens with the so-called Tea Party people that were candidates that are now in these offices or will be in these offices. How do they mix that with what the movement, I'll call it, was about? Like repealing health care was one of the big things, certainly, and the taxes and a couple of others. Now this is melding with the Republican Party. You think there's going to be a tough time there? I think it's going to be tough trying to define that.
It's going to be a very difficult getting to know each other period, certainly in the Senate, which is a much more hidebound kind of group of folks. Acting out is not going to be tolerated. It's sort of like the nun with the ruler slapping the wrist. But in the House, I think you're going to see some really strange hearings scheduled into all kinds of things that are bugaboos for the Tea Party folks who got elected. But in the long run, you can't push this stuff through the Senate. And you can't, you know, account on Obama. What's going to happen is gridlock, and then folks are going to say, a lot like Scott Brown, who is a Tea Party-backed candidate here in Massachusetts, if I want to be effective as a legislator, if I want to really try and do something in politics, I'm going to have to learn how to compromise. And for some of these folks, that's going to be a point of principle not to do, but I think they're going to then find themselves shut out of any meaningful role.
Yeah. Some people have suggested that if it's done right, though, that maybe down the line the Tea Party could become like that third party. I don't know. I'm skeptical about that. What do you think?
I'm skeptical, too, because third parties haven't worked very well in recent times. You look at Pat Buchanan and Ralph Nader, certainly people who have very defined points of view. But when they bolt the party structure, the two-party structure, and run as a third-party candidate, they do pretty badly. They sometimes show very well in early primaries when I think people are casting protest votes. When it comes down to the real election, third parties haven't done well in the last half century.
Yeah. Describe what the Tea Party movement is just, you know, if we go back, I guess we could go all the way back to, I don't know, maybe the 30s and talk about, you mentioned about movements and how movements come about and then how they're labeled. So this movement came out of anger, dissatisfaction, the bank's too big to fail, all that sort of thing. And it could have taken on a different metamorphosis, I guess. But you're not surprised by that happening, are you? Because if you go back in history, and this is what you've done, you see that there have been other movements like it.
That's right. And in fact, it's very typical, and it's actually a very healthy part of democracy is to have dissident political movement shake things up, get people looking at some kind of action, and then involving themselves and others in these policy debates. The dilemma here for some of the people in the Tea Party is that they have ideas about how the economy works and about how foreign policy works and about how, you know, the federal government works that don't really line up a whole lot with reality. So it's one thing to say that you want smaller government. But I've interviewed a whole lot of Tea Party folks, and they say, well, but except for the military, except for Social Security, except, except. And so they want big government for them, but small government for the people they don't like. You've seen this throughout U.S. history, basically their backlash movements against kind of social liberation forces of the left. And this gets pushed back and forth, and somehow the framers who wrote the Constitution figured out that the system we have kind of balances itself in the long run and moves forward.
Chip, the woman who initially, she kind of gets credit for starting the Tea Parties and the Tea Party rallies and stuff, says, well, you know what, if these candidates that now become senators and become congresspeople don't do what they say they were going to do, well, we're just going to melt their phone right off the hook. So I think they might be making a lot of phone calls based on what you and I are talking about here, don't you?
Sure, but that's part of democracy. You know, democracy is pretty messy, and one thing that you know from history, whether it's on the left or the right, is that social movements that are very active and energetic pull political parties towards them, not the other way around. So you saw the labor unions pull Roosevelt to the left and the civil rights movement pull the Democrats to the left, and you saw the Christian right pull the Republicans to the right in 1980 with Reagan. So this is part of the give and take of American politics, and all of these dour political centrists who are wringing their hands saying this is the end of America, just, you know, a bunch of fuddy-duddies.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know what I think is exciting, though, about all of this and the discussion we're having is more people in my world and around me, even despite this radio show, not just the people calling the radio show, are talking about politics. Maybe that's a good thing. Do you think ever, Chip, in our lifetime, you and I will see it where we get more than 50% of the eligible people that could vote in America going to the polls? Wouldn't that be something?
I think that would be great. It would be a sign of real health in the body politic here, and I certainly hope for it. I think a lot of people are turned off by the kind of stodginess they've seen in both the Democrats and the Republicans, the unwillingness to form policies and try out, experiment with things just to see if they work. And so it's good that folks are pushing. Obviously, you know, given my writing, I'm not a big fan of the Tea Party politics, but I'm certainly not one of those people who wants to just dismiss them. I want to engage them in a conversation. That's what it's about.
Yeah, I agree with you. Hey, you wrote a book, you're co-author of a book called Right Wing Populism in America, Too Close for Comfort. Tell us what that's about. I gather from the title I can sort of guess, but tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, my co-author Matt Lyons and I, we went back and looked at all of the times throughout U.S. history when there have been these kinds of backlash movements, and basically built around conservative themes, basically by white people somewhere in the middle classes who are angry at changes in terms of immigration, in terms of economics, in terms of social issues, and how they mobilize, and what are the way they frame the debate, and what are the stories they tell about what's happening. And they tend to be built around this idea that something terrible is happening to the nation and it somehow has to be restored. But when you actually see what they end up accomplishing or trying to do, it's not about restoring what's gone by in the past, but basically building a society that benefits them and not the people they don't like. So, well, you might say that's just human nature, but we basically tracked it all the way back to the colonial period and brought it forward period by period, saying, you know, this is actually a pretty normal part of American politics.
Yeah, you talked about the possibility of gridlock. I got one more for you. You know, for President Obama, he's looking at 2012, and of course, realizing now what's happened with the House and then some of the gains in the Senate. So of course, he gives a call to John Boehner, who's probably going to be the Speaker of the House, as we know, as he's likely slipping into those shoes. A smart thing for him to do, obviously, as president, to try to work together, and certainly we've seen that in the past with Clinton, for example. Do you think this will work out, or do you think we are going to have gridlock?
Well, time will tell. I was a correspondent in Washington, D.C. back in the 70s, and back then, you know, you've heard this story before. The Democrats and the Republicans would fight like cats and dogs during the day, and they'd go out for dinner at night, and lifting a few as well. So I really think the idea that your political opposition is out to destroy the America as you know it is not a useful way to look at things. So I hope there won't be gridlock, but I fear there may be.
Yeah, I agree with you. I hope there won't be gridlock either, because we'd like to see some things happen. Chip Verlay, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. We'll talk to you down the road. We appreciate your time again.
hurricanes, ice storms, blackouts, and the prospect of civil unrest. When the unexpected happens, will you be ready? Hundreds of concerned citizens across America have already installed wind generators to help protect their families in the event of a disaster. So act now and build your own wind generator with an easy-to-assemble kit from WindBluePower.com. WindBluePower carries the best battery-charging wind generators and permanent magnet alternators in the country. Our 12-volt wind generator kits are also great for small cabins and campers. And all WindBluePower kits qualify for a 30% tax credit. So get your discount now. Go to WindBluePower.com today and enter coupon code RADIO for 5% off. Or simply call 800-976-0026. 800-976-0026. Protect your family's emergency energy needs now at WindBluePower.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Are you concerned about dropping or losing your cell phone? Are you tired of dealing with cell phone clips or holsters? Then this message is for you. Introducing Clip Hanger, the best and most affordable cell phone holder on the market, made to keep your phone secure and accessible. Clip Hanger works with all cell phones, including the iPhone, Droid, BlackBerry, and even iPods. When attached to a pant loop, Clip Hanger won't poke when you sit down. And for women, Clip Hanger easily attaches to any purse strap. Carry a phone in your pocket? Simply use one finger to pull it out with Clip Hanger. Clip Hanger is thin and simple, has a 1-year warranty against breakage, and prices start at only $10.95. With your Clip Hanger purchase, we'll also send you the auto hook for your car and ship everything to you absolutely free. See the amazing Clip Hanger and the Clip Hanger light with its built-in LED flashlight at myphoneclip.com. To order, call 801-719-2680. That's 801-719-2680. Or visit myphoneclip.com to get your Clip Hanger today.
Topping odds and ends, some facts and figures from Tuesday's election, all the stuff I find interesting. You know, we still don't have the overall number as far as the vote's concerned. Was it 40% of eligible voters, 50%? You know, we were just talking about that in our last conversation, whether or not at some point we hit 50%. What a sad state of affairs, huh? To say, if only half of America that's eligible to vote votes, that'd be a terrific thing. But we're not even there yet. We're at 40, and who knows what happened in the midterms. We're not sure. We do know this, though. Women and independents were huge this time around. In both groups, the percent of eligible voters were pretty much constant, that flow from 2008 to 2010. The female turnout was 53%, 28% of registered independents voted. And what's interesting is independent voters supported Democrats 51% of the time compared to 43% of the time for the Republicans in 2008. Now, in 2010, the Democrats got only 39% of the independent vote. Check this out. 55% of them went to the Republicans. That's unusual. And that's what we thought was going to happen. We talked about that on America Tonight, that a lot of independents were flat out saying they can't believe it, but for the first time, you know, normally they lean more toward the Democratic side, but they were tired of what they were seeing in wherever they were voting for their Congress folks or Senate or whatever it might be. And according to the polls, the turnout for African Americans and young voters, we talked about the young vote a little bit last time around, actually went south from 13 to 10% and 10 to 5% of eligible voters in the categories pretty much respectively. So there are numbers and facts and figures that are worth looking at. Hispanic turnout was the same in both years, 8%. The numbers changed just a little bit from 68% of support for Democrats in 2008 to 65% in 2010. Republican support from Hispanics rose from 29% to 33%. Look at the disparity there, though, because you're talking about pretty big numbers. 65% saying 33% Hispanics for Republicans. A lot of those Cubans in Cuban Americans voting in Florida. And it's interesting because several Hispanic candidates did win Republican races in New Mexico and, of course, Nevada governors. So we'll see what the overall percentage was of voters. That's the curious number to me. But the demographics are important, and that's what certainly the people who are running look at. Wow, where did we slip up? Who didn't we hit up enough? Did we not talk to the female groups? Did we not get our message across? Because, of course, that's what it is. You're angling to hit the right people. This is a big one in odds and ends. I mean, I hate to hear about these emergency landings, except for that I will say, at least in this case, it turned out okay. A Qantas jet liner, and this has just happened a short while ago, had to make an emergency landing Thursday in Singapore, because remember it's Thursday there, with 459 people on that flight. One of the four engines shut down. They were flying over western Indonesia, and suddenly if you had looked out the plane, what you would have seen is a blast and a bunch of debris that went flying to the ground. Ooh, as a passenger, that must be a frightening thing to see. Now, the airliner itself is saying, oh, there's no explosion. There was no explosion. But this was a double-decker A380 plane, so it can carry about 500 people. And the official thing they're saying is it was an engine issue. Right after they took off from Singapore, they were going to Sydney. They had to make that emergency landing with the passengers and obviously the crew. So they re-rack it and send them on another, put them on another plane. But pictures of metal, some the size of a door, were broadcast all over the place in Singapore. So I think there was some kind of an explosion. And they you see this commercial plane flying low in the distance. And as it was described, they say it looked like there was smoke on one of the wings. And then the debris started falling on some people's houses. I'd say that somebody's not seeing clearly. Man, it's lucky that they landed the way that they did, that didn't happen when they were further up, and obviously it was a problem with the engines, as they acknowledged, but it happened close enough to the ground and that everybody was safe, and thank goodness for that. Man, I just don't understand this deal in Mexico. I'll tell you what, if I had a kid that was a teenager who wanted to go to Mexico with his friends and party, I would say absolutely not. You know, I have a feeling if I were a mother today of a teenager, I'd be pretty, I say liberal in a sense, because I think you have to let kids stumble, you know, stub their toe, not be so soft, let them go for it occasionally. But I think when it comes to Mexico, I would say, you're not going for it. You're not doing that spring break thing in Mexico. This time out of Juarez, which is a place I've talked about a lot because I've been very familiar with it. I used to go to Juarez all the time. I used to live in El Paso, and I would go over that Zaragoza Bridge, think nothing of it. We'd be there till all hours and then come back over. Now, I wouldn't cross in the middle of the day, in the morning. You can give me a time. Pick any time on the clock, and I wouldn't do it. Sad, sad, sad thing to say, too, because the people when I was going over were sweet, wonderful people. So a U.S. university student, of course, an American, fifth American, was killed in that city. And this is just in this past week, and we know what does this all stem from. It's the drug cartels and the violence and, you know, whatever they boil it down to. Eder Diaz was a student at the University of Texas at El Paso, which is just a stone's throw away from Juarez. And he was killed along with a classmate. And they don't seem to have any reason for it other than wrong place, wrong time. He was a 23-year-old business major, and his buddy was a computer information systems major. And that's it. That they just, they happened to go over there and did not come back, unfortunately. And Juarez has become one of the world's deadliest cities because of that turf war between the drug cartels. Do you know that 2,000 people have been killed this year in Juarez? 2,000 people. That's just crazy. I mean, there's no question. The State Department is issuing a travel warning for several parts of Mexico, and, of course, it includes Chihuahua State, which is Juarez, and that's a big concern there. But I just can't think of any place that I would. If you've got the mayor of Acapulco telling his people, gee, stay off the streets, the second it gets dark, you get home, I think I'm not going there. Let's go to Tomas in Michigan. Hello, Tomas. Tomas.
Yeah, it's me, Tomas. Yep.
What's up, man?
I just, you know, was browsing the internet here, and it looks like there might be some investigations starting to crop up here in the new Republican-controlled House. And I think that they should point them at the good old Justice Department. I think that would be a very easy case, a nice big target. I mean, Eric Holder, you know, he's the guy who has been suing a state of the United States of America for supporting the laws of the federal government.
Yeah.
I don't think you're gonna, that's a slam dunk.
I would think so, but I bet you that's not going to happen. I bet you that there might be some looks into things, but I bet you they wouldn't go in that direction. You're right. It does seem like a slam dunk. There's a couple of roads you could go down.
What about the Black Panther thing too?
Yeah, the Black Panther thing I would definitely look into.
You know, I mean, he is a nice, easy target, and you know, I wouldn't lose any of the sympathy vote for Obama. I think that if I were Governor Brewer down there in Arizona, I would resubmit an immigration package in there, and because I don't think that these judges are going to be so happy to try and cut it up now that the House is controlled by the Republicans, because they don't want a bunch of Republican congressmen to go down there investigating them. I think that that's what they should point to, not investigating Obama, because if they do that, it's going to be a big thing for him.
Yeah, I think the investigation of Obama would just drag out and would, frankly, would not lead to anything. I know people are saying this stuff about impeachment now. That's not going to happen. I think you don't even go in that direction. I agree 100%. Thanks, Tomas. And finally, a tip of the cap to the San Francisco Giants. It was earlier in the week when they clinched the World Series title, the first in 52 years. They had a parade in San Francisco. Tens of thousands of baseball fans jamming the downtown to toast their Giants. Woo! Ticker tape parade. Congratulations.